Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the measuring stick. Let's go, hook him up!
I would attack you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is awesome to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I am your host, Ed, in San Antonio, and I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm a pot guy. And I'm joined by my co-host, Craig. What's going on, Craig?
I am not a good guy. I am not a bad guy. I'm just a really friendly guy.
And we have our other co-host on the line, Couture. What's going on, Couture?
I don't give a shit.
I knew you were going to fuck it up. God damn it. Can you even go through the show 5 seconds and Couture's throwing something up, man?
I'm sorry, I didn't. I don't know what's going on.
Can we just end the show?
I don't want to be the only one that didn't sound gay saying that shit, so, you know.
Well, anyway, we have a few things to talk about.
A few, including
Roman Reigns, who was just the world champion a couple of days ago, apparently failed a drug test and is suspended for 4 weeks. Somehow magically gets to come back right before the next pay-per-view. But no Roman Reigns for a while, and then we had a big review. And I can't wait to do this review. I've been waiting to watch the Battle of the Bastards forever, you know, and that's what I watched Sunday. It was awesome.
That was something. It was like the best battle. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. I guess we could also talk about Money in the Bank a little bit. You know, it was there. But anyway, I guess Roman's
Craig,
big news.
Craig doesn't watch Game of Thrones. You don't watch Game of Thrones, Craig?
No.
What, are you like anti-entertainment or something?
Apparently.
Okay, I'm fast.
If you ever do decide to watch it, Craig, you should watch it before you let your little boy watch it. Because certain episodes he might not be able to handle, like that battle that was Sunday. That was something else. But let's talk about the big
one. A guy who get eaten by dogs, he might not want to watch.
I thought they were going to show more of that.
I've heard a little bit about the show, and I don't think I need to watch it. And I'm pretty darn sure that my son doesn't need to watch it. So.
Well, I definitely know your son doesn't need to watch it, but still, you can watch.
Yeah, he needs a lot of age
and stuff.
There is. Well, it's kind of like medieval times, and that kind of happened back then. You know, it's not like it was that out of the ordinary. But it's actually the greatest show ever. But anyway, cool. I just got confirmed that I have an eighth of pot waiting for me in Chicago. That's awesome. So, it's going to be an awesome trip. But anyway, I keep trying to start talking about the main subject here, and that is Roman Reigns. And I just remember that night and that morning before, I've been trying to hook up some guests for Wrestling Observer Live, and Dave and Prazak was trying to get Heidi Lovelace to do the show, and it just took a while getting everything confirmed. So it was right before the show when everything was kind of confirmed and got your little knucklehead midget friend the number and his co-host. And again, we listened to the Wrestling Observer, and then within minutes, I'm on Twitter and I see Roman Reigns apologizing for failing a drug test. And I'm like, yeah, it had to happen on this day. And then sure enough, they bumped Heidi, and hopefully she'll be on tomorrow. But I get a message from Shimp about 3 minutes, or about maybe 5 minutes before they're supposed to call her. And he's saying, could you please call Heidi and rearrange this to Friday? And I was like, you sons of bitches. But anyway, so Roman Reigns just not only did he fuck up and fail a drug test, he screwed up the goddamn interview I set up for fucking the show. It pissed me off, but fuck Roman Reigns, fucking bastard. But it's weird because there hasn't been a big name since, what, Rey Mysterio, and that was years ago, you know? And they were pissed off at Rey at the time. So it's very weird that, you know, I mean, it's not common. You know, ever since they rescinded that strike from Randy Orton, no big star has failed a drug test. It's been Hornswoggle, it's been Ricardo Rodriguez, and finally, fucking world champion, because he was a world champion when he got drug tested, because apparently this didn't happen Sunday. This happened like Friday or Saturday. And they knew about it, then they did the TV. And they do have it in their written that they can write you off TV, so you kind of got to you kind of got to give them a break, even though, you know, we know that that's kind of fucked up. But anyway, so they let him do the angle, put him in the match for the pay-per-view, that he'll be back 3 days, and it's just a big shot because it is, I mean, it would have made a hell of a lot more national news had it been Cena, but it's still like one of their biggest stars after Cena, and it's just, you know what I mean, a lot of things probably have to be changed, and I don't know how happy they can be with him. I mean, ratings are down, attendance is down, the B shows were having just as much attendance as the A shows, and then, you know, he hasn't gotten over than this, so he might be in the doghouse when he comes back. But Craig, your whole thoughts on the whole situation, and how did you find out?
Just like everybody else did, I saw it on Twitter, and you know, hey, it is what it is. I mean, I'd still like to know what he got popped for. I mean, everybody's speculating it, you know, it's probably, you know, steroids or human growth hormone or whatever, you know. What if it's just like weed? You know, what if he...
It's not weed because he wouldn't have got suspended for pot because that's still on the non-suspension list. Now, it could have been something like a supplement he took that might have had something he shouldn't have. You know, I understand him not being, like, you know, the UFC fighters have to be, like, really strict on what they take and pay attention. It's not really like that in WWE, so I could maybe give a guy a break or understand that that's what actually happened, you know, something like that. But what if it's not? What if he failed for cocaine? We don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to put it out.
He was in Vegas.
Yeah.
No, I'm curious to what it is. I mean, which, aside from the ones that are squeaky clean, I mean, who in the WWE hasn't, you know, done something? You know what I mean? I mean, he's far from the only one that's ever, you know, taken anything or put something to give him a little extra step. You know what I'm saying? It's almost sad, but it's like, well, figures, you know, it was bound to happen. I think it was dumb. I mean, when you're in the position that he's in and he's got, you know, 3/4 of the crowd booing him, you know, I don't blame the guy for trying to get a leg up, but at the same time, it shouldn't have been done. I mean, rules
are
rules.
No wonder he was snapping back at the crowd on Monday night. He's already pissed off,
yeah.
I guess.
Coming down.
Now, what if...
He should be doing that stuff anyway, because they're going to boo him, even though I might as well just pop back off at him. So that's what I think.
Exactly. I just hope it's... I hope he's, like, not on pills or anything like that. That kind of suck.
And it, you don't think he took some Adam Rose's Ritalin?
I'm just hoping it's, you know, I just hope it's not... It's not a narcotic or something like that. That would be, it'd be sad because, you know, he's a dad and stuff.
I think if I had a guess, honestly, I would say it's some kind of steroids because the dude does have a good body, but he is, you can tell he could have a beer belly very easily and maybe he's taking something to cut weight. You know what I mean? Because, why would they not have a big, muscular guy not wear a fucking bodysuit with armor on it? You know what I mean? If they're not trying to hide something. So I've always kind of felt that he might have big shoulders and arms, but he's always looked like a little soft in the stomach. I think that's the original reason they gave him the armor and stuff. So it could be something like that, you know, just, you know, a weight-cutting steroid, you know, something to make them look more cosmetic than actually, you know, give them strength, you know what I mean? I mean...
I'm going to send you guys both a picture that I took, and you can tell me how much weight he needs to lose. Just a minute here. Keep going.
Contreras, your thoughts on the whole thing, and how did you find out?
Well, my parents called me. I was devastated. I don't know. I just clicked on the fucking website, and it was just there, so I don't know.
And your thoughts when you saw it?
I was devastated, you know. I don't care. I don't know
yeah,
what
well,
to say.
It does affect
it,
a lot
it,
of
it
wrestling.
Happened.
And, yeah. Well, you're being very talkative today.
Oh, okay. I don't have much to say about it. I don't care one way or the other. Keep up.
Yeah. Anyway, Craig, you send this photo yet? Still waiting.
Yeah, I know. I'm still trying to find it. I take a lot of pictures when I go to wrestling shows and concerts and vacation.
You know,
anyway,
I'm going to a wrestling show for 3 days in the next 3 days, and I'm gonna be like a junkie going cold turkey, trying not to take photos of girls' asses so I don't piss off Rob Naylor and a few other wrestling personalities this weekend.
Oh, please. Who cares?
I'll send you some, Frank. I'll send you some.
I really don't care, Ed.
You, once you see them, you'll care.
Okay. What's like the big matches this weekend?
Well, the one that I'm really looking forward to is the last tapings, they kind of had like a mini tag tournament. It was just like four teams. And the team of Team Slap Happy, which consists of Heidi Lovelace, who is the Chikara Young Lions champion, I believe. And Evie from New Zealand. She's one of those girls that they brought in for Nia Jax Squash the last time they had a Shimmer taping. And they're taking on the champions who are the Kimber Bombs, which is Kimberly, who's that girl who almost got killed in that one spot. You remember that dude almost killed her? And Cherry Bomb, who is also Allie from TNA. And they're having their big title match. So that's what I'm looking forward to because I'm one of the biggest Evie fans in the world. She's freaking awesome. And Heidi's not bad either. But that's what I'm looking forward to. It's going to be awesome. They're going to have a title match between Madison Eagles is going to defend her title against Courtney Rush, who also from TNA is, you might know from TNA as Rosemary. And it'll be the first time she's, it was weird because she was a normal chick. And then the last taping, she was like a vampire or something. And now she's like a demon from hell. So I'm kind of curious to see how she's going to do it. And,
Courtney works just up north here. She's from Vancouver area.
Have you ever Have you been to any shows that she's on?
Not that I can think of, but possibly.
Has it?
I don't know. It's been a while. It's been a while.
I know. Horseman told me he used to go to shows with Nicole Matthews on them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you know who she is, but she's also like mm-hmm. up there. But also, they're going to have Nicole Savoy, who won their like secondary title at this past WrestleMania. She's taking on Crazy Mary Dotson, who pretty mm-hmm. very familiar with. She's brought her up plenty of times. She was the Miz's hairdresser and Kane's hot dog
That's
boss.
Right. That's right.
And then match though that I'm really really looking forward to happens Saturday. And that is Jessica Havoc, who you've seen Jessica Havoc, the big girl. Well, she's taking mm-hmm. on this girl from England called Viper. I don't know if you've heard of her.
No.
Okay, I had heard the name, and then she was on the Shine show that was this past Friday. And basically, picture a female Earthquake, as far as the way she's built, but with a very pretty
gotcha.
Face. And the girl can move. Like, I'm sure she can't go long distances, but in short distances, she can move. And she blew the whole night. Everyone was chanting, "We want Viper." I mean, she was just awesome. So basically, it's going to be the battle of the two biggest hosses on the roster. It's going to be a mean guy match or a mean woman match. And I am very excited to see that, because that's going to be like the wall meeting the unmovable obstacle. I forgot how that goes, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that. And then I get to see Mia Yim wrestle 5 times. I mean, what more can you ask for that? I'm hoping that I'm just being told or just being kayfabed and that Leva will actually be on the show. I don't know if she is or not because of the injury, but that'd be awesome. Kaylee Ray from Scotland is going to be on the show. She is also one of the real attractive, tall redheads that lost to Nia Jax.
Okay.
A while back is on there. And then, do you remember Emma wrestling a real pretty blonde from Australia named Chaz McKenzie? She's going to be there. She's off. So I'm stoked, man. It's going to be three days of fucking. I'm probably going to see about 100 women's wrestling matches over the next 3 days. It's going to be awesome.
That's cool. Very cool.
Yeah. So anyway, are we done talking about Roman?
Yeah, it's been talked about so much. I don't know what else do you say? You know, I hope the guy, whatever it is, I hope that, hope he learns a lesson.
Well, plus he got 5 weeks till the next show. That's a lot of time that he's not going to be there, you know, because he's not even going to be on the draft. Well, I guess they don't really need him on the draft show. They can draft him without him being there. So that ain't a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, personally, I'd save that three-way for SummerSlam if they were going to do it. But that's just me.
Yeah, that's what I kind of do. I mean, that is kind of like the big match that, you know, I mean, it would have been perfect for them to do, like, Seth and Ambrose.
Yeah,
and then
do a three-way at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
Trying to look up the Money in the Bank pay-per-view report. Oh, here.
Okay, I just noticed the photo. He does look like he could be fat, Craig.
Hard to deal with his arms, his hands up like that.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, he looks like everything is rock solid and jacked, but his stomach, to me, he's always looked kind of soft.
No, he doesn't have a six-pack, but I don't think he's fat by any means.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying he's fat. I'm just saying he didn't have he's Samoan. They don't have the best genetics. I mean, he's probably the most... do you think he's the most built Samoan ever? Maybe Tonga Kid in his prime?
Tonga Kid, when he was younger, was still pretty good. Like in the mid 80s.
Yeah, because like when he first came out, he was pretty.
He wasn't that cut. Because I remember him when he was in. I mean, he looked good when he was in like the Islander back in like 87 or 88, which I think was was his pretty much his prime. He's one of those that got real big afterwards, if you recall. I mean,
I mean, it was a totally different person. You know, just a couple of years later.
I mean, he was kind of not as much as, but he was like below Yokozuna has been, as far as being big. He wasn't as big as Yoko, but he was still a big, big guy.
Yeah.
That's why I was shocked when Umaga got popped for HGH. I said, what? Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure that one out.
I was like, look at me. Do I look for you, HGH?
What's weird about Samoans is genetically they're big and they're fast and athletic, but genetically they have shitty, you know, cosmetic genetics.
Yeah, that's safe.
Yeah. But they're big and bad and scary.
Usually.
Yeah. So. But I guess we can go ahead and start on the Money in the Bank review. Do you have a list here, Craig, of matches?
I do. It's right in front of me. I'm going to go ahead and start with everything, even the undercard. R-Truth and Goldust beat Tyler Breeze and Fandango. They did a gimmick before the match where Breeze and Fandango were tanning, and Goldust and R-Truth turned up the intensity on a tanning bed, which is, by the way, impossible. And they came out with the worst makeup job you've ever seen. And every time.
It is impossible. I saw on that one Final Destination movie when two girls burned up in tanning beds. It was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So they came out looking like, crispy critters of skin falling off. And every time Goldust or R-Truth would touch them, they would shriek in pain. And anyway, Goldust pinned Fandango with the final cut.
I only saw this match in clip form. But in clip form, with the angle and just the little clips, it was awesome.
Okay.
I'm sure the match wasn't, but in clip form, it was awesome.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I got no interest in watching nothing like this. I'm just so tired of it. I hate these names that they come up with, like Breezango or some stupid shit like that. I hate that. God.
Yeah.
He's like 2 seconds to come up with and sounds stupid.
I got to give Brian Alvarez credit. The Febreze was actually pretty funny.
That was good. That's better than the fan breeze that I thought of.
Yeah, that was horrible.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do? Match number two, Sin Cara and Kalisto beat the Dudleys. Yes, you heard that correctly. Sin Cara and Kalisto beat the Dudleys. Kalisto uses Selena Del Sol on Bubba, and Sin Cara finished him off with a senton off the top. It was okay, but I don't know why they keep jobbing the Dudleys. Just because they're older and they're veterans. Come on.
They still look young. I mean, you know, they don't look that old.
Exactly.
I mean, she'll work.
Yeah, they can still work.
I mean,
that's the...
They can work, and Bubba's still awesome on the mic. That's the main thing you lose when you don't push him.
Mm-hmm. Name them like some Hollywood power couple these days. You notice that?
You're
like
right.
Jennifer or some bullshit like that. It's so stupid.
And then the pay-per-view actually started, and we had Kofi Kingston and Big E. They retained the tag team titles over Enzo Amore, Big Cass, the Vitamins, and Anderson and Gallows. Match went about 12 minutes. let me see here. Anderson and Gallows went to do the Magic Killer on Aiden English, but Cass made the saves. Big E picked up Anderson during the pin attempt, had him on his shoulders. Gallows had to wait for Cass, who was late getting in, to hit a clothesline on him and didn't break it up. Kingston finally came off the top with a big double team
big double, big ending, excuse me, on Anderson and then Kingston pinned English. It was fine.
Nothing.
I thought the New Day was great coming out. Some of the
yes.
best stuff they had in a while. Enzo, you know, Enzo's always awesome. Match was going fine, was a good match, and then something happened, and then goddamn, did it fall apart? And I don't think it ever got back on track after. And it was just weird, and just how bad it got there for a minute.
Yeah, it did get bad. That's for sure. And then had
I didn't see this match.
Well,
I fast forward through it. I don't watch anything within Zone Cast in it, so.
Baron Corbin pinned Dolph Ziggler in the feud that will not end. Third straight pay-per-view. He actually moved it up to the main card for whatever reason. I have no idea. Corbin hit the end of days. It's the same old stuff. Please move on. Do something else. Please, please, please.
Yeah, it's not even a good matchup because Ziggler's like too fast for him. I will say that fucking the best part of that match though was from Ziggler was gonna come running and jumping off the steps and fucking lost his shit and was about to die and Baron Corbin just caught him and slammed him. That was actually really cool, but that was the only cool thing about it.
Mm-hmm. And the hits just keep coming. We had Charlotte and Dana Brooke. They beat Natalya and Becky Lynch. Natalya and Charlotte hit the natural selection on. Excuse me. Charlotte hit the natural selection on Natalya for the pin, and then after the match, Natalya turned on Lynch. Both girls were crying, and it was a big to do. Another just throwaway match. The like 5/8, 7/8 of this pay per view was just nothing.
Yeah, well, when they added two matches, and, I mean, I don't know why they did that, because especially since they ended up going long anyway. I mean, I talked about it last week that I heard they were going, like, over 3 hours. I don't know why.
Yeah, they went really long. They went, like,
3 hours.
320.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. It was a long pay-per-view.
Well,
especially when you're doing a lot of fast-forwarding.
Normally, I would never do this. Especially during a women's match, but by this point I had already changed the channel to HBO, and
mm-hmm.
was just literally amazed for the next hour, and then an hour later I went back. But really, what, dude? I mean, it's so weird because okay, they had, you know, I thought Charlotte and Becky did a great job after they kind of screwed everything up with the three teams. It seemed like they were getting interest. Then when they we're going to position Natty, you're like, okay, there's going to be some good matches, but then they kind of fuck those up, and it's just been back to where they were a year ago or 2 years ago, where they're not giving them time on the pay-per-view. They're cutting their shit, and it's not working. Can't stand Dana Brooke. I don't know if you guys agree with me, but this is how I would describe Dana Brooke. She's the ugliest hot chick I've ever seen.
I wouldn't say
that's fair.
Fucking big fat lips.
I don't mind
that's
the lips.
That's the definition of a better
mind,
face.
I don't mind the lips. I don't. I just can't get past the
horribleness.
Arms. The oh. arms. No, I horribleness. There's nothing you can do about that. But when you're talking pure looks, she's.
Got man hands.
Acceptable. Man hands, man arms, man legs. Yeah.
Yeah. She couldn't even grab the Charlotte's leg right on. Was it Raw? She couldn't even do that.
Yeah.
It's like God. Send her back. Bring me Bailey.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just grab the leg, put it on the top rope. Or put it on top of the rope. And for some reason, that was a hard task. And she screwed it up. The ref was looking right at her the whole time. Like, oh my gosh. She
so bad.
This woman replaced Ric Flair. Who's, I don't know what they're thinking. Jesus Christ. I don't
think
know.
Maybe
I should Ric Flair out, was Ric Flair out there sometimes getting slapped in the face.
Flair's
a gimmick for
maybe,
40
maybe
years
Vince
to
or
get
Kevin,
slapped by women.
Maybe Vince or Kevin Dunn's getting a little side piece action. Because that's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah, anyway. That was a match.
That was a Raw match. I mean, that was just like a
yeah,
random
exactly.
Raw tag. I just kind of flipped through it, which I never do because I'm actually paying for most of this shit, so I try to watch it.
Mm-hmm.
and then there was, like,
so I guess that's what we're getting at the next pay-per-view. So that'll be
and
good.
Then there was an incident with the women after the pay-per-view. Apparently, no one really knows, but apparently, supposedly, she maybe got drunk and upset with Del Rio and ran into traffic. Apparently,
she was like in an altercation with like a fan or something.
Well, they didn't arrest her; they put her in an ambulance. So that kind of would say, like, if you know, then like. Brent Crimmin, didn't he get into trouble for running into traffic and they took him to, that's when they took him to the mental hospital? So, to me, I would be seeing something more like that if they're going to put her in an ambulance than, you know, a police car. They didn't arrest her. She
probably
had
two different reasons for running into traffic, Brent Crimmin and Paige. But,
yeah.
Who knows?
Well, I'm just saying that's what, you know, they did the same act, even though it was being.
I'm looking up the Observer with the story in it, so I'll have it in just a minute.
Nothing
bad.
Yeah.
But it could be total diva stuff. It could be nothing. It could be just all set of stuff.
That's true.
But they did do the thing with her and Alicia Fox throwing drinks at some other girl on one of the shows.
I actually am responsible for him playing in traffic. I threw a quarter in the street. He ran after it.
I don't know if you're being serious or not.
Totally joking.
Anyway, he would do though. Here I have the story here if you want to read it real quick.
Yeah.
Strange story regarding Paige after the pay-per-view. Officers outside Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas were alerted by people of a woman running into the streets and into traffic. They caught up with her and detained her and ordered her to be taken to the hospital. Photos taken by people were watching were of Paige being detained, which ended up all over the internet very quickly. This was considered a medical situation, not a legal situation. The police department would not release the name or nature of why she was hospitalized because it was not listed as a legal situation. Alberto Del Rio told different stories version. They said to Court Bauer that they were out on a date after the pay-per-view and went to a show at Caesar's Palace. At the show, there was a drunk couple who started heckling them about being wrestlers, calling them fake wrestlers. Del Rio then asked for security to remove them, and security did. Then when the show was over, they were leaving. The heckling couple were waiting for them outside and mad that he got them kicked out of the show. Words were exchanged, and the woman attacked Paige. Police came and hanged up both women and questioned them. Said Paige was then let go, and then they went to Phoenix, where Del Rio was in one of the photos which was circulated. Although it wasn't evident on TV, there was a mark from the scuffle, and that's the story he said why she was hospitalized. They immediately alerted WWE. Everything was found the next day. According to WWE the next day, no charges were filed against Paige. She's out in the hospital, and WWE is still investigating the matter. So, take that for what you will.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. I don't think it could have been worse. It could have been like the second one that week, because Lawler got popped last week, if you remember.
Yeah. Poor Lawler.
Yeah.
That sounds like one situation dealing with a crazy woman. That's just me. I'm not trying to say he's a. I'm not trying to defend him or nothing. That sounds like a drunk woman that you just gotta kind of push away, and then it turns into a domestic thing.
Yeah, there was one of his other ex-girlfriends, you know, made a statement about how that Jerry Lawler would never raise a hand to a woman, and this and that and the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
And my goodness, what was that girl like? 17 when they met? My goodness. I know Jerry likes the girls young, but this girl, holy cow.
Hey, I don't know, I think she has a kid, because there's a little kid at the Hall of Fame with him. I'm guessing it was her son or something.
Okay.
Looks like about 7 or 8 years old or something like that.
When Meltzer was talking about it, he made a good point that it's when someone who doesn't drink is arguing with somebody who does drink, it's, you know what I mean? You kind of have to side with the guy who doesn't drink.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. And,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, so.
I'm a big fan of Cops, and I watch those domestic disturbances. It don't take much to get both arrested, even when you don't do anything. So.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, cops can be dicks, and if they want to be a dick, they'll take both of them down.
You have to bump into somebody, and they take you to jail.
Yeah. No, that's very true. And also, like with Paige, if you watch Total Divas, you know she likes to drink. And if she's anything like her mother, and I've seen her mother in action at a bar, you know, there's a good chance alcohol could have been involved in it, and you know, make the smartest choices when you're on alcohol. So, I mean, they've not made a big deal about it, so obviously it's not a big deal, but, you know, something did happen.
I just laugh at the fact when people still out calling wrestlers faking shit in 2016.
Yeah.
Like, you fucking idiot.
Why don't you tell us it's Del Rio, too, man? The only person probably worse than telling us it's Del Rio if they would have said it to Jack Swagger.
That's true. That is true. All right, next up on the show, we had Apollo Crews. He pinned Sheamus. The match went about 8.5 minutes. Sheamus actually hit White Noise off the middle rope. Crews kicked out. Sheamus was arguing with the ref, and Crews slipped in and hit him with the crucifix and pinned him. And so, good. It's about time he won. I don't know what you do with Crews. He seems to kind of be a lame duck on this thing. I think he was brought up way too soon.
I didn't even go back and watch this one. When I did go back to watch what I missed, it's because
you don't care about him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Okay, and then the pay-per-view
would come off so much better without these extra matches on there.
Exactly. And then, as JR would say,
perfect wrestling show is like rest of the pay-per-view. Me is like 6 matches.
And not going 3.5 hours.
Yeah. Basically, when you can plan everything out, so you know you can make sure it ends on time. You know, so.
Yep.
See, I knew something was up because I didn't turn the show on until after it was over, until like 10:45 or so, and said, like, so I was watching the replay and it said 3 hours and 23 minutes. I said, I thought something big had happened. Well, actually, something big did happen in the show, but it's something that was. Could have happened in 3-hour time limit. So.
And then, as JR would say, business picked up. Match number 7, AJ Styles pinned John Cena in 24 minutes and 10 seconds. This was a fun, fun match. Back and forth contest. They were kicking out of each other's finishers and moves. Let me think. Ref got bumped at one point as Cena was going for the AA, if I'm not mistaken. I'm behind on Dave's notes here. Cena hit the AA, no ref. Anderson and Gallows charged into the ring, hit Cena with a magic killer, and Styles. It's amazing, after the heels hit a move, the ref always wakes up. It's crazy how it's the jarring of the mat when the man falls upon it actually renders him conscious. Anyway, Styles pinned him. John Bradshaw Layfield on commentary going nuts about how Anderson and Gallows had ruined the dream match it was a great match. Dave gave it 4.25 stars, and that's fine. I'm okay with that. That was a fun contest.
The finish was weird because it was like real fast. They hit the ring, and then they got the three count. It's like you expected a kick out or something. You know, just
yep.
kind of the way it was doing. So
yep,
I thought they were doing that. I thought they were turning AJ back babyface or something. You know,
the double
with
turn.
Him not seeing it. Yeah, with him not,
yeah.
not seeing it. And but then the next night he was out there and said, "I want you guys to apologize to me." I said, "No babyface is going to do that."
That was actually awesome. I love that kid.
Yeah, I was going to say I love that. Him being very condescending and actually playing it up. That was awesome.
And I actually like the mic organ feud has been like really great. Like they've had some good stuff to work with. Like seeing us talking about how these indie guys come up and they feel entitled to because they've been on the indie scene for so many years, so they want to beat John Cena and stuff like that. So there's probably a lot of truth in that. So
it's true.
No, that was saying because everyone says that AJ wasn't a good promo and he really wasn't in TNA, but. Besides him being good the last couple weeks on Raw, remember when he did that one ROH pay-per-view with the Japanese guys and they had the whole Bullet Club out there? He was fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So I didn't see this match live. I ended up watching it later that night. And I think, to me, this is actually my favorite match of the night of the three.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was great. AJ's just incredible. It's amazing how damn good he is. And Cena
mm-hmm.
always does up for the big matches and a lot of crowd heat. And it was my favorite match of the night.
My favorite match of the night was the next match where Dean Ambrose won the Money in the Bank ladder match over Chris Jericho, Sami Zayn, Cesaro, Alberto Del Rio, and Kevin Owens. Just tons and tons of spots. There was a Michinoku driver. On Owens, Sammy had laid the ladder down and opened it up on its side, and he hit a Michinoku driver and on top of the ladder, leaving Owens splayed out on the ladder and leaning over. Just a heck of a scene there. Also, Cesaro was about, I would say, about 8 steps up on the ladder. And he jumped off of the ladder, hit the second rope, and did a springboard into his twisting elbow or forearm. That was incredible. The timing on that is just incredible. Anyway, match ended. Jericho was up on the ladder. Ambrose took him out. He climbed up the top. I was expecting everybody to jump on him at that point, and for some reason they didn't, and Ambrose actually won. I was shocked. Absolutely shocked.
Well,
I called it last week.
They did tease it on that Raw. I didn't think they'd go for it, but the best thing about this match wasn't even in the match. It was the skit they did before where it was Owens and Alberto and Chris Jericho. And Owens is crying about Alberto and always calling everybody pharaohs, and then he told him that they were a pharaoh bunch of losers. Or
he said, "You're a pharaoh idiot."
Yeah, pharaoh idiots. And then Chris Jericho, I forgot what it said, but his comeback was fucking off the wall. But yeah, that was great. The match was really good. It just wasn't my favorite one. I screamed when freaking Cesaro went headfirst into the ladder after he did all the forearms because it looked like he hit that fucker hard.
Mm-hmm.
So that was awesome. And Kevin Owens looked like he was just Homer Simpson a bunch of times.
Yes, when Homer fell on the fire hydrant.
Yeah. I did have a bone to pick with you, though, Craig. Is how come when that little idiot was talking about why did he put an arm bar? You need your legs to climb up. And why didn't you tell the little midget that you need both your damn arms to unhook the briefcase?
That's a fair point, you know. That is a fair point. Next up, we had
the main event, or excuse me, there was another match in here I totally forgot about.
Rusev beat Titus O'Neil in the most underwhelming thing I've seen in a very long time.
I didn't hate it. I enjoy two hosses beating the crap out of each other, and that's what they did. It wasn't pretty. It was just two big guys smashing each other, and I didn't mind. I thought it was okay. I don't know why everyone hates it.
You got the kids involved, which is always good when you're rubbing it in a kid's face and in front of his parents. So
I was just about to bring that up. Actually, Rusev won with a high kick and a super kick, and then the accolade, and then Rusev went up to O'Neill's kids who were sitting at ringside and told them that their father was a loser, and he said, "Happy Father's Day."
That was good.
That was awesome.
Yeah. If I was a heel, that'd be the fun part about being a heel, dude. Shit like that.
Yeah. It's tremendous. Rusev is the man every week. And in the main event, we had Seth Rollins pinning Roman Reigns, actually the longest match of the night, almost 26 minutes. And at the end there, we had Reigns hitting a spear. Ref Mike Chioda was just recovering after he had gotten laid out. He got there late, and then Rollins kicked out. Reigns went for the second spear, but Rollins blocked it. And in midair, hit a pedigree. I thought the move looked great. I thought it looked really cool. Reigns then kicked out of that, and then Rollins hit a second pedigree and got the clean pin. And then
it was so clean, I knew something else was coming.
Exactly. Dean Ambrose music hits. Seth is looking up the ramp, and he's telling him to come on, come get some. And Ambrose comes from the other side of the ring, hits Rollins with a briefcase, hits Dirty Deeds, and wins the WWE Championship, and my jaw was on the floor at this point.
Yeah, this is the whole match, and then what happened afterwards, this is great. I really enjoyed it. Especially the match. I mean, I don't know if people know how stupid they sound when they think Roman can't wrestle.
This is the dumbest
chance ever.
He's had some
damn good matches on pay-per-view this year.
They still send fucking chance at John Cena, and he's, has five of the 10 best matches every damn year.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was
disappointed Seth didn't have his white gear. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of Seth, did you hear his girlfriend or ex-girlfriend is decided to totally leave wrestling for good, that one that was a Nazi?
Oh, yeah. She's kind of hot for a tattooed chick.
Yeah. Yeah, too bad she just had to have swastikas all over her freaking walls and shit. But
yeah.
It was a good match. It was a really good match. I thought Seth looked great for being what that was his first match, maybe? Or first big, at least on TV.
Yeah.
It was good. I was shocked by the clean pin. I couldn't use because you just the way they've been pushing Roman, you don't expect them to lose like that. And then when Ambrose, they just the thing. You know what's funny is I totally he saw all of that, the whole angle, everything Friday night because the WWE blatantly stole the main storyline from the Shane 35 I pay per view.
Wait, they stole a Money in the Bank cash in they've been doing for 10 years from a pay-per-view on Friday night.
No. Well, maybe they didn't steal the thing, but basically they were supposed to have three separate title matches. Okay, TNA, Shine, Shimmer, because they're all there. And then Mia lost, so it went to Sienna. So that match, she was going to take on the Shimmer champion, so they kind of changed. So basically, they made it a three-way. It was going to be the main event was going to be a three-way between the three champions. Someone was going to lose their title, and their opponents, plus Nicole Matthews, who was supposed to wrestle Soraya Knight, who unfortunately didn't make it to the U.S. for some family issue or whatever, they put them in a Money in the Bank match. Now, it ended up not being a ladder match, but basically they had a fucking metal briefcase with a contract, and it was going to be Money in the Bank. Whoever won, elimination, got this briefcase. It was supposed to be between Santana, Kelly Skater, Mia Yim, Nicole Matthews, but before the Chick in Charge introduced Ivelisse as a surprise fifth entrant, and right there I knew what was going to happen. So Ivelisse ends up winning the Money in the Bank. Then they have their three-way at the end, and they didn't wait till after. Ivelisse basically joined from the beginning, but Ivelisse joined that match, and she ended up winning the Shine Championship. She beat the Shine Champion. So very similar, not exactly, but basically the WWE stole basically the Shine Show. And I will say the three matches at the end of the Money in the Bank were awesome, and I put those three as the best matches. But as a whole show, Shine 35 blew away Money in the Bank. And if you don't believe me, you can ask Lance Storm, because he was watching it live and we were tweeting about it all night. So even Lance would agree with me on that, I'm sure. And
I will take the word for it.
Well, I don't lie, so of course you should take my word for it.
Damn it, WWE stealing that Money in the Bank finish. Bastards.
I know. And not giving Shane no credit. That's horrible. But, the match was good. And then, it was a good surprise. I mean, I kind of wanted Seth to be champion, so. But, it was still cool. Dean Ambrose, he's cool, so I didn't get too upset about it, but. I thought it was cool. I thought because it was different. Well, you weren't expecting it, because honestly, I was expecting Roman to win, or Roman win, but then some kind of bullshit that splits the titles, so they go on to two different shows. But I thought it was cool. I mean, it was the best they could do with the situation they were in, because they knew he failed the drug test before the match.
Very good ending.
Yeah, what a show.
I like when he got out of the cab the next night and almost left the belt in there. I like cool shit like that.
Yeah, when he got up and when Ambrose got up and made the speech on Raw, he's talking about the rough night that he had in Vegas. I can believe it.
Yeah, I can also, he looked like it. He looked like it.
I also liked it that Renee actually tweeted out that that she was really happy. I thought it was funny that that Dean hadn't schooled her and he can't because he was winning the title. That was pretty funny.
They're a couple, aren't they?
Hey, he might have found that before the match. He might not have been able to have told her.
That's true, but still, it's funny.
Yeah, it is funny though.
He had a promoter here in town years and years ago. His name was Dave DeBosch. He was the worst ever, but he didn't smarten up his girlfriend at the time.
Is that
and,
the coach guy?
He was have. No, different guy. Same mentality, but different guy.
Okay.
he was having a match with Buddy Rose, and Buddy hit him with, I can't remember what he hit him with, but then you could see Buddy taking a blade out of his tape on his arm and actually cutting DeBosch with it. And he comes back, and his girlfriend is just losing her mind. And I'm like, Dave, she knows it's fake, right? No, shut up, dude. I said, what are you going to smarten her up? He goes, when she quits reacting. Okay,
all right. That's actually kind of funny. Speaking of, we're talking about girls who worked here in neck of the woods. I'm going to buy Casey Spinelli dinner on Sunday.
Oh, cool.
Cool. Yeah, she's awesome. I met her last year. She remembered doing the show and stuff. Remember we had Lila, and then we had her on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's the best photo from that whole weekend is there's this one guy. He's a little old man. I don't think he's 5 foot, little man. And basically he went to take a picture with her, so she decided to just pick him up like a baby.
Mm-hmm.
And this little old man is just so happy that he felt like that by Casey Spinelli, who she's pretty and everything, but she's one of those chicks you can tell you don't want to fuck with because you know she could probably whoop your ass because she's hot, but she's like, you know, she's got some guns on her and some size for a really hot chick. So, yeah.
Yeah,
she's such a cool.
I was going to say, she's such a cool chick. She gets it, you know, like when fans are coming up to take pictures with her and you could tell, like, I've seen pictures where she's like grabbed the fan's head and like rested it on her breasts to take the picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's just a cool chick.
Dude, there was one guy, she had a piece of pizza, and one guy asked to take a photo, and she took the photo, and she's like, oh, now you got to take a photo of me eating the pizza. So she makes him take a photo with the first bite, and then the second bite, and basically every step it says she had this whole goddamn slice of pizza in her mouth. It was awesome.
I love her. I love her. Oh, she's the best.
Speaking of, are you going to Lila's wedding?
No. I will not be going to Lila's wedding.
You could attend a wedding and work a show at the same time.
I'm good.
Yeah.
Speaking of somebody eating pizza, did I tell you I almost choked to death for eating pizza the other day? I made a mistake of eating a piece of pizza while I watched that woman with the Chewbacca mask on.
Oh, yeah.
My God. I thought I was going to need medical attention. I was laughing so hard. I didn't laugh that hard in a year. Have you seen that video? God damn.
Yeah.
Something else.
I just know she's like charging $20 for autographs.
Yeah.
You should.
And you know what? Who's the fool? Who's the fool? The one asking for the money or the people paying it?
People paying it.
I ordered me a Chewbacca mask on Amazon.
Yeah.
I have to watch that video. Yeah.
And by the way, the mask is sold out and you can't find it anywhere anymore because it's so popular, as stupid as that sounds.
Yeah. I don't know. She was doing something about the woman laughing in pictures. I couldn't stop laughing.
But anyway, so I guess that's our, are we done with the Money in the Bank review?
Yeah, we're done.
All right, let me throw out the plugs real quick. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can always download and stream our show at AngryMarks.com. And happy belated birthday to Stevie J. His birthday was the other day. So happy birthday to Stevie J. One day you will look as one day you will be as old as you look. And happy birthday. Everyone check out AngryMarks.com. You can also download and stream our show at blogtalkradio.com/Contrere and order shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio.
And by the way, Ed Scarlett Bordeaux from ROH just Facebooked about 9 minutes ago and said, excited to announce I'll be making my Shine debut this weekend in Chicago. See you there.
I think you mean Shimmer. Because she said Shine, she doesn't even know the name of the company she's working for.
Oops.
That's interesting. She lives in Chicago.
Dave, I apologize. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Okay. That's cool. I haven't seen her in a while, so. She's
still hot.
Yeah.
Pretty hot? Okay.
You know, Shalana Baszler makes her Shimmer debut this weekend.
Oh, that's cool.
So maybe I'll be sitting next to Ronda Rousey.
Yeah, sure. She does a lot of work up here in Vancouver, oddly enough. It's weird. But yeah, anyway.
Well, WWE doesn't steal the idea of having someone debut on Monday, you know, piggyback off this debut of the weekend. So.
That's very true, Katrina. Okay, my plugs, just really quick, you can hit me up on Twitter. It's at Proper Jam, PROPERJAM. And follow me there.
You can go to youtube.com/Katrina. I got tons of shit up there. You know what it's all about. Just go up there and watch shit. I don't care.
There you go.
All right. Well, Craig, you're free to go, but we are going to talk about some Games of Thrones, so if you don't want to, you can go.
I'm being dismissed.
Well, no, you don't. You can stay. I just, you know, I don't, you know,
no.
I know you don't watch it.
Hey, Craig, are you giving me, you know, next week they got the Lego Star Wars Force Awakens coming out.
Okay, which, like, something new?
Video game.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that.
That's funny because my son's birthday is actually on Sunday, and we just bought him this monstrosity Lego Star Wars Lego thing with all these clones, and he's just going to be jacked when he gets it. And I'll think it's really cool until I have to.
They got a free demo up there you can download. So I played that the other day.
I'll check that out.
I'm bored to it.
I'm going to watch some of this Guns N' Roses show that people are putting on Periscope right now. Their first show of the tour started tonight in Detroit, so I'm kind of interested in that. So you guys talk about incest and battles and whatever. So
it's only two of the seven families that do that.
Oh, only two. Well, that's good. That's only 12-15%. Anyway, all right. You guys have fun. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
You know, of all the things to be appalled about Games of Thrones, that's not really one of the major.
Kind of.
As bad as it is, I mean, it's still not one of the major ones. But okay, let's be honest. Is that the best episode that they've ever done?
As far as major battles, I think it is. I think the big battle was the Watchers on the Wall battle.
Yeah, that was my favorite one up until this weekend.
Yeah, this one was just like fucking epic. I mean, Jesus Christ! I mean, you survived that. That's just dumb luck. There ain't no skill involved. You know, you just got fucking lucky if you survived that shit.
I watched, like, the replay, and they're talking about, like, you know, after the replay on demand, and when you watch the replay on demand, they add, like, a five-minute commentary where they show a few scenes and commentary, and they kind of, that's one of the things they said. They just said that, you know, he's had a lot of luck.
It's like,
talking about how, like, the arrows just kind of fly in.
When they storm those beaches in Normandy, and you know, the first people out of that boat, they're going to get fucked up. You're dead. And you survive that, they're just stuck in a look.
And then, like, in the Civil War, they mentioned in the Civil War, there would be battles where the bodies would pile up into a mountain like that. You know what I mean? So that was kind of, actually. But I thought I thought the whole episode was honestly awesome because I love the beginning when the dude, they think they won and they're talking shit and she's like, oh, we weren't clear. We're here for your surrender. And then fucking Drago or whatever his name is fucking comes flying in the background. And then they, you know, you get to see the dragons in action finally. And then fucking Tyrion and fucking Grey Worm were fucking awesome. When Grey Worm got the soldiers just to take off and then kill those two dudes and then fucking Tyrion just fucking was awesome. I thought that was awesome. I really liked this. I liked the scene also, the later scene with the Greyjoys.
Yeah.
Because you could tell, like, had his sister not been there, like had it been two guys, it probably would have been a different story, but she was so intrigued, you could tell that she's like, she won points for being a girl. And then a really good line where she said, what if the other people want to demand their freedom? And she's like, she's not demanding, she's asking. You know, that was a good line. So that scene was even good. The first face-off with Snow and Bolton, with like where they have basically all the lords, you know, the second and third in command all there. I thought that was a good scene. And then the scene with Starvos, is that how you say his name?
No, I'm not sure. I'm bad on the name of the show.
Well, some of them are hard.
Yeah, I've watched six seasons and I'm still confused about some people who's who, you know, it's been a while.
Well, Stannis is right hand man.
Oh yeah.
When he finds the thing that he made the girl, and he kind of like figures out what happened and stuff, you know, and you know that's gonna lead up to next that'll have to come down next week. So that was cool. I thought it was funny when they're trying to talk military strategy to Tormund, and he has no fucking clue what the fuck they're saying. I thought that was awesome. I thought the opening scene with the battle, just because basically, like Sansa said, don't do what he wants you to do, and basically he did everything he wanted him to do. Basically, he knew that he'd come running out to save the brother. And then he knew he'd get so pissed off.
And you
knew
he was dead when they you knew he was dead when they started. You knew he was gonna die. There wouldn't. And can you got your nerves? Can you do a little zigzagging back and forth? Just to don't go straight. Just to avoid the fucking arrows. Everybody zigzags.
Yeah.
Everybody runs straight. You know. So.
Yeah. And then you know, they have the pause, and then basically he gets pissed off, and he knows they shoot the arrow, so he takes off, and he takes off all pissed off, and then when his horse gets killed, then that's when fucking Bolton sends in his cavalry, and then you're like, you can tell he's like, God damn it, what the fuck did I do?
And then
like,
when the horses all come in and they all meet, that was fucking awesome. Right before they get to him. And him,
yeah, I mean,
I don't know, he's cheated death, like, he cheated at least once, and he survived death stuck. I actually thought he was going to die, because it seemed like it would be only fitting for him to be brought back to life just to die in the end, you know, so.
Yeah, and then you never know with them, because, you know, they don't have a problem killing off popular characters.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, but basically, just, you know, it was an explosion of fucking horses and just fucking people. That was intense.
They were lucky they had that giant with them.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, the giant was badass.
He just picked that one guy up and just ripped him in half. I love shit like that.
And the thing is, you know, like, I knew even before the episode, because you know what's going to happen. They're going to fight. They're about to lose. You know she sent the letter to fucking Littlefinger. And that the Knights of the Vale were going to come save the day, and that's exactly what happened. But even though you knew what happened, the battle was so intense and crazy that when it did happen, you're like, fuck yeah, and just fucking kind of mark out for that. So even though it was, like, pretty blatant, they did it so well that it didn't matter that you knew what was going to happen. You just sat back and enjoyed the whole damn thing. And then when he... you know, when he beat his ass and then stopped because he knew that, you know, he needed to let her fucking do it. And then when they put him in the thing, at first I was thinking it was going to be Ghost. I thought Ghost was going to come out and be the one to eat him, but they had to, and those were some goddamn big pit bulls, dude. That pit bull, the one that licked his face, that thing was huge, dude.
I was kind of disappointed they didn't show enough of him getting eaten by the dogs.
Yeah. Well, I also the best part of that, though, was, okay, when the dog started to bite him, she starts to look away, but then she stops and makes sure she looks until, like, she knows that he's, like, finished off. And then she walks away, and then just
and
at the very last second, you get that little fucking tiny smile. And it's like, fuck yeah. That was one of the most perfect episodes they've done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was one of the best battles. I mean, going through, like, fucking movies and stuff like that. I mean...
It was so intense. I mean, it was, like, so much going on. Like, so much, like, and then just crowded. You know what I mean? It's just, like...
And I don't know who you know is who to kill when you're in a battle like that. I mean, I'd be, you know, killing my own people, probably. I don't know.
Well, the majority of them were wildlings, so they didn't have armor on.
Yeah.
But the bad ones, basically, they had the same kind of outfit. And then they
got lucky that one spot where he was laid down and everybody was going over him. He kind of got lucky there. So.
And then he had when he was sucking air when he finally got out of there and stuff. So yeah, that was all that. I was gonna go to work and just watch it when I get home, but I was like, I knew I was gonna fuck up and get on Twitter or something. I was like, fuck it, I'm not going to work. I need the money.
Yeah,
but I ain't going to work.
Probably, I watched it about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I just saw, I mean, because I was like on my Kindle looking around, and I saw the name of the show was Battle of the Bastards. So I dropped everything I was doing and watched it. I said, I knew this was going to be. Plus, they always had the biggest episode, like right before the finale, it seems.
Yeah, it's always a big one. So people are probably going to complain that nothing happens on the next one, but. You know what I mean? It's the way that it's just how they do it. They do it so it's designed for number 9 for some reason.
I think you got to have something big with the Lannisters and the High Sparrows and all that shit on the finale.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious what that's going on there. But it should be good. It won't be as good as that might have peaked. That might have been the best moment. And until they all fight the fucking White Walkers at the end with the dragons and everything, that might top it. But until then, this is away. And there was some good shit, like when the dead people ate, killed all the wildlings. That was a good fucking battle. The Watchers on the Wall, I mean, that was by far the best one until now and stuff. So yeah, it was awesome. So, it just sucks that one more week and then we got to wait a year.
Yeah. Well, I think we're going to wait a year. You know, shit costs so much. Just looking at that battle.
I don't even think they're doing 10 episodes next year. I think they might be doing 8 or something. So that's going to kind
this of... This is another one where... I wish I would have discovered Game of Thrones like now. So I could just watch all of them through.
Yeah.
You
well, I think that...
Watch
cause
week to week sometimes.
Yeah, I started... Because I got to see I didn't watch it at first. Like, I had people, like, tell me about it. Like, this one manager at the paper route, she started telling me about it, and then other people have told me, so I finally started watching it. So I got to see the first few seasons, and it was on when I started watching them. So basically, I caught up, and then that was the season with the trial with Tyrion and the Viper and the Mountain. Basically, those were going on when I started watching them. So I got to see most of it like that, but now it's like, God, I can't believe it. And then next week I'll be in fucking, well, not next week, this Sunday I'll be in Shimmer, so I won't be able to watch it till I get back home on Monday, and I know it'll be all ruined for me by then on what happened. So
I like going to YouTube, because I went to YouTube, and they had like all these, I like watching those reaction videos to some of these episodes. People watching it, you know, they have to, you can, because they had like, I watched something that apparently they showed Game of Thrones at some bar or something, and all these people were watching it. It's fun to see people react, stuff like that.
This would have been the opposite of the Red Wedding reaction.
Yeah.
This was finally like the, you know, fuck yeah, you know what I mean? Good guys win.
I'm gonna miss Ramsay though. I'm gonna miss him like I miss, King Joffrey. You know, you want to see him get killed, but damn, they're so bad. They make such great characters, you know.
Yeah. At least Ramsay got a fitting death. I always thought that was kind of wussy the way they killed off Joffrey.
Pretty damn violent the way he died.
Yeah, it was kind of sick, but I wanted him to be, like, dismantled, you know what I mean? Like, tortured, like he fucking would torture the hookers and stuff. So, but yeah, the fucking show is fucking awesome. But
hopefully,
is there anything else you want?
Hopefully, Arya gets back to her family on the finale. When is she leaving to go home?
Yeah.
$20 if she runs into the Hound on her travel home.
That's the thing. I'm thinking she might not get home till later because I'm thinking, wouldn't it make sense for her to run into the Hound before?
Yeah.
And then they have their big reunion, and
so
that's that's another thing to look forward to. You got her and the Hound hanging out again. You got the Hound and the fucking Mountain battle is back on since the Hound's still alive. So yeah, there's just a lot of shit to look forward to on that show.
Did you watch? I finished Orange Is the New Black the other day. Have you watched that yet?
Oh, I just finished it this morning or last night.
I thought it was I like that. I thought that was my favorite season so far.
I like that they finally did the backstory on the little Jalapena. And damn, did she look hot in that flashback. Jesus Christ, I thought she looked hot as a prisoner.
The one that tripped me out was
you know,
crazy ass nut and accidentally killed that little boy, apparently. He was trying to
push
the fire escape.
That was fucked up. That is so fucked up because I remember the first time they did the flashback on her, it was when she was a little kid. So you never really found out why she went to jail, and then, God, I was kind of, because you know she had no intention to hurt the little kid, and then that was just tragic. That was fucked up.
She was just weird.
Yeah.
It wasn't like pedophile bad wrong with her. She was just an oddball.
You're like George from Minimum.
I know, still the finale of the one where the woman with cancer hit the woman on the side of the road with the van is still a great finale.
Yeah, that was probably the best finish, but this one was pretty intense too. And then it was weird because it was, you know, Daria with the gun and not one of the real rowdy ones.
Yeah.
And so
they killed off like one of the most likable people on the show.
Oh, yeah. I liked how they did the episode after she died where they were doing another flashback with her and she was, like, having, like, the best day of her life. That was kind of cool the way they ended that and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah. So, yeah, it was a good season. I really liked it. It wasn't, I think as far as it was, like, the most, the most unbelievable of the series, but they still, a lot of the stuff they did made it seem really cool, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, as fucked up as it is, the guards aren't going to be that fucking bad. But, you know, that kind of was like a little out there. But as far as the way they reacted to it and worked everything around it, everything was good. So, yeah, that was cool. I liked how the one dude checked in, the one doctor, the counselor checked himself into a psycho ward at the end.
Yeah.
You know, they realized he was fucking crazy and shit. And dude, Lori Petty, she's never like the most gorgeous woman in the world, but she was pretty cute. How the fuck did she get so goddamn ugly?
I don't know.
You know what I'm talking about.
I mean, she had her moments, I'm trying to remember. I think
League of Their Own.
I think that her most attractive was maybe she's in Point Break or something like that. She played the female lead, Point Break.
That, League of Their Own, she was cute.
That's right.
Was it Tank Girl? She was okay. But, I mean, she looks like she's, like, 40 years older.
I thought they had a good, I thought the resemblance was great when they were doing the flashback, because you know that wasn't her, but it looked like her.
I think it was her.
I don't think it was her. I think it was somebody else.
I have to find out about that. But, yeah, I enjoyed it.
The trailer this week for the Tupac Shakur biopic or movie that's coming out, it's like haunting how much that the guy playing him looks like him. It's like spitting image. It's weird.
Wow. I haven't seen that. But anyway, I guess we can go ahead and end the show already. Everybody come back next week, and you'll get to hear all about my Shimmer trip, whether Couture or Craig want to hear about it or not.
Okay.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man.
You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the man's shit. Let's go hook him up!
I'm going to dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
now.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.